Hello, thank you for joining us for another Howler podcast. I am here joined today with
Ben Lackey
and Lena Deska.
And today they're going to be discussing the national emergency and some more political tidbits for you guys to think about. So let's get started here. Ben, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, so the national emergency. Trump right now wants to use his power to declare a national emergency to build his wall, his biggest campaign promise, right? And one of the biggest questions is whether or not it legally constitutes a national emergency. Right now, that's kind of an open question because the Supreme Court hasn't really defined what a national emergency has to constitute, right? Now, he cites some of the reasons why he wants to build the wall as illegal immigration, right? And the crime they commit. However, it turns out that legal and illegal immigrants commit less crimes than native-born people. And the U.S., as of 2017, was experiencing a net outflow of immigrants, and that's from PolitiFact. Back on the question of whether he can legally do it, he's facing some lawsuits from the Democrats, and again, the question, legally, can he do it, it's still open, right? The lawsuits are likely going to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court leans right now, and they tend not to oppose the president during this kind of thing, so it's possible that the Supreme Court approves it, right? I think, however, it sets a bad precedent for if the Democratic presidents wanted to use that power to, for example, completely wipe away the student loan debt. So that's a real possibility if this presidential power were expanded.
All right, Lena?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd just like to say that Obama declared 13 national emergencies. So, and no one ever really questioned whether he had the authority to do that or not. You know, President Trump is the president, and he has the right to veto anyone who really goes against him. As whether, like, he has the authority or not, again, he is the president. He is in charge, you know, well, he gets to make all the decisions, really. I was looking into it, and 30 countries across the world have barriers or walls around their countries to stop illegal immigration and drug smuggling, which drug smuggling is the biggest issue with Mexico and their immigrants coming over. So it's not, you know, something unheard of. There are more countries with walls and barriers that just do it for territory reasons. So, you know, a wall is not the worst thing in the world and it's not unheard of. Let's see. So I think it is an emergency, especially living here in Texas. You know, there is, you know, a lot of crime coming in, and unfortunately for the people who are coming in, you know, who aren't doing anything wrong, there are the bad people who are quote-unquote ruining it for them, but they shouldn't be coming over illegally anyways. There are legal ways to do this. You know, I think everyone's really forgetting this. This is illegal. Anyone coming to this country without going through asylum is coming over legally. So that's what I'd like to say on that. You know, we're also spending $200 billion on illegal immigrants coming over here. We're wasting that much money on something, you know, this wall, we can cut down that, you know, number big time because there won't be as many immigrants coming in.
All right, great. Now you each have 2 minutes for rebuttal. Ben?
So you mentioned that the wall would be effective, right? You were mentioning drugs, and a majority of the drugs coming through this country are coming through legal ports of entry, not through random points in the desert that the wall would cover, right? It's points where there's already strict border security, and if you wanted to minimize the amount of drugs coming through, you could just increase security at those points, right? And you mentioned crime, and you conceded a little bit that most people coming through aren't criminals, right? So, and I'd like to stress the point that according to PolitiFact, illegal and legal immigrants commit less crime than native-born people, right? And that's because they don't want to get busted and deported for something as small as, like, having weed or shoplifting, right? So, again, I think that's the main point, is that the wall is just ineffective at what you're saying it should do, and that's decrease drug importation and decrease crime. So, yeah, if you wanted to do those things, there are better, more efficient ways to do that than setting up a Great Wall of China type thing.
Okay, well, like, we both know not all of the immigrants coming over are, you know, committing crimes. One thing that Mexico doesn't require that is highly recommended, and almost everyone does it in America, is get certain vaccines. You know, they aren't required in Mexico to get the measles, mumps, or rubella vaccines, and right now it's getting pretty popular not to vaccinate your children. So the people who aren't coming over and committing crimes, they're spreading disease. You know, these little unvaccinated children are going to get sick, and there's going to be outbreaks of these diseases in America.
So that's a fair point, and, well, to the extent that it happens, I would say that we should go ahead and see if we can vaccinate everyone in the country, right? There are ways to do that, and such as, like, a Medicare for All system. That's how it might get paid for, and, you know, I haven't heard too much about, you know, them spreading diseases, but to the extent that it happens, yeah, I think we should take care of that in any way possible. And you're arguing that, hey, keep them out is the way to do it, and I'm not sure that's the best way to go about it.
I think they can come over in the right way, the legal way, and throughout that process maybe, you know, require that they get these vaccines. Also, you mentioned healthcare and Medicare. Do you know that we spend $18.5 billion for illegal immigrants' healthcare? And in my personal experience with my daughter, it took me literally 2 months to get her healthcare. Very expensive healthcare, and they get it for free, and we're paying for it.
So what I would say to that is, if we had a Medicare for All system, well, right now, the system we have is very inefficient. We pay double what other modern countries pay per capita.
Okay, well, for your healthcare for all, where are we gonna get the money for it?
We're getting the money for it by cutting out the middleman of the for-profit health insurance companies. Really, you just gotta look at real-world examples of countries that do it, right? Canada, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Australia. These are all countries, and Canada and Australia are fairly big. They can do it as well. And if your argument is, oh, well, I've heard this before, oh, the United States is too big, we can't do it, then if you wanted to go by a state-by-state basis and do a Medicare for All system that way, like, Vermont's population is tiny, if you wanted to do a Medicare for All system in that way, that's very possible. And Medicare for All is actually, well, okay, I wanted to mention this fact. 35,000 to 40,000 people die every year because they don't have health insurance, right? Mm-hmm. They don't go to the doctor, they don't get themselves checked out, and they die for it, right? In an economic and just moral way, I would say that Medicare for All is the right way to go.
I do believe everyone should have health care. I don't think health care for all will, from what you're saying, it doesn't make sense on where the money's coming from. Even if you cut out the middleman, where exactly is this money coming from?
Well, it's coming from slightly increased taxes. So, from as I understand it, if you were to cut out the middleman of the health insurance companies and just put everyone onto an expanded version of Medicare, but I do remember that a right-wing institute, the Mercatus Center, something along those lines, they did a study of our current system and a Medicare for All system, and they found that Medicare for All would actually save $2 trillion. They said that our system as it is right now costs $34 trillion to average Americans, and it would cost $32 trillion to average Americans, right, overall.
Okay, well, those are estimated numbers. You know, those aren't, you know...
Right, but, there were more accurate studies that said it would save $5 trillion. And the point is, like, we can cover everybody. There are 30 or more million Americans that don't have health insurance right now, and they die for it. Thousands of people die, and people are just not able to go to the doctor.
Okay. Thank you guys very much for joining us for our Left, Right, and Center podcast. For the full version, where Ben and Lena get to express their full opinion on these political statements that they've just made, please click the link below.